Yes.
He's incredible.
It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes. We are back. Welcome to another podcast of Animation.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's so good.
It's good I get to get it out because Brennan's going to be gone for a few weeks or so or a month or whatever, and he doesn't complain.
I love it.
Yeah,
so.
You had to make up for that week we had off, too.
A lot of pent-up anger, had to power up.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Keenan Baker. We got my boy Rob here.
Hello, hello.
Ice is back.
What it do?
Brennan is missing in action, but he'll be back sooner or later.
He ain't shit.
Where in the world is Brennan Edwards?
Did you guys see his hat?
No.
That he had on? You see the picture that he posted?
With no, what's he got?
Dora the Explorer hat?
Of course.
Out here looking like the Black Diego.
That's hilarious.
All right, y'all. We are continuing Samurai Champloo, episode 7 through 12, and Rob, let's do it, man.
Yeah, it was interesting too because this episode 6, the one we ended on last time, was just like, all right, guys, that's the end of the Ito chapter, and then they spent like the next 2-3 episodes still like hanging around Ito, just like chilling.
Yeah.
So we open back up in Ito. They're hungry again, as usual. Always hungry. Starting off every episode like we could eat, which you know I get, but. Right. So they're walking through the streets, and Fu, who's got to be like the most like clumsy person of all time, like bumps into somebody again.
Right.
Last time she bumped into somebody, she ended up working in a whorehouse for a while. This time she runs into him. They steal every last penny they got on him.
Right.
Yeah.
They're on their way to eat, and they figure out like, oh shit, we just got robbed.
Yeah.
So they're immediately, you know, Mugen's out in the street trying to like run people down, like looking for who it is. He's just, you know,
kicking
cracking
people in the face.
Yeah.
Jesus. I feel him for that. I'm heated. We're hungry. We had this idea. We got to eat. We got this bread, and then we get jacked. I'm just fucking everybody up in sight.
Yeah. And everybody's just like, it wasn't me, man. It wasn't me.
Hunger pains.
Meanwhile, the pickpocket. Well, actually, we don't even see the pickpocket immediately because we get transported to these, like, you know, 4 or 5 sketchy looking dudes just walking down the street talking about this, like, object they got. Like, oh, kind of giving them advice, like, this is how you walk. Make sure you look cool. Like, play it off like you got nothing. Meanwhile, pickpocket shows up again, bumps into him, robs the guy blind.
Right. Yeah.
The guy that's just like, oh, this is how you walk. This is how you look like you got nothing on you. And then he's the one that gets robbed.
Yeah.
So they go around the corner. The pickpocket goes around the corner, is just like, oh, you know, like what I pick up. Basically, scored a bunch of drugs off these guys. Right. I thought it was coke at first, but we find out later on it's opium.
Yeah.
Which makes more sense, I guess.
In that time.
Yeah.
But anyway, some contraband that he's just like, oh, shit. Like, you know, I think I know a guy that could help me, like, you know, offload this. He goes to visit his fence. His fence is like, I can help you. Like, I don't know if you're into this thing. It's going to, you know, it's going to be a lot. Pickpocket's just like, you know, I got bills to pay, basically. Like, let's just make this happen.
Right.
Bro, no, hold on. He says, I need 70%. Of what the fuck you...
I saw that, I'm like, hell no, I'll figure it out myself.
That's the worst drug dealing history. Yeah. Yo, give me 70%, you get 30. And then he was just like, well, I just need the money. You're not getting any money off this shit.
Yeah, that's not a good, like, risk-reward sort of ratio, you know?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. If somebody gave me a kilo of coke right now, and I just stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, okay, cool, I give you $2,000, and I'll take the other $18,000, like... I'm not saying I know the cocaine prices or anything.
I mean,
like
a lot
that,
of rap tellers.
Yeah,
is all good idea.
Yeah.
Hypotheticals.
I'm just on a drug dealer on the low. But yeah, I would be like, no, bro. Like, I would just either give it to my friends, just whoever uses it. I don't think I have cocaine friends, but if I had any, somebody can use it.
If you had a kilo, your cocaine friends would show up.
Exactly.
They'd make themselves known.
Absolutely would.
But yeah, 70%, that's
ridiculous.
It's not a good rate. So meanwhile, Mugen, Jin, Fu, they're still looking around for this guy. I think they wind up basically, I forget how they get the lead, but they find out that there's this like farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Mm.
And there's this woman showing up there, and they're like, oh, we think this is probably where this guy stays. It's probably his mom. They start talking to this woman. She's like, I don't even have a son. Like, get out of here. I don't know anything. Of course, they leave. Immediately, the son shows up.
Right.
Turns out she's super sick, and he's basically been robbing and stealing just to like be able to afford some health care for his mom, some drugs.
Didn't she stay? She stayed there.
I think she did stay behind because the other two guys were like, Jin and Mugen are like, we're going to go basically set up down the road because we still think this guy is living here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to set up an ambush. You stay here and wait just in case he gets by here and let us know if he shows up.
Right.
Yeah. So she's actually watching that whole thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
So she basically sees their conversation that, you know, the mom needs health care, you know, they're not on that Obamacare stuff, right. So they basically, you know, they got
no Obamacare.
They got no Obamacare in Edo, Japan. So he's basically stealing to get better drugs for her to, you know, help her live longer, you know, make her feel better.
Right.
For good cause.
Yeah. You know, thief with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Right.
So Fu feels bad, walks back down the road, is just like, I didn't see him. He didn't show up. And Jin and Mugen are like, fuck. Like, I guess we'll just keep looking. So fast forward to the next day, Fu shows back up at the house. And shows up, and the mom's still there. And the mom is just like, you know, you're not out there doing, you know, you're not out there doing shady stuff, are you? And he's like, no, I'm not doing anything that would bring dishonor to us or anything like that. Mm. He lied.
Yeah.
All right.
So she shows up, and she's, I think, going to confront the mom originally. But the mom is immediately like, here's food, which is right the way to Fu's heart.
Yeah.
Right. So she's immediately falls in love with this mom. The mom thinks that she's her son's boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. Naive as fuck.
Yeah. It's kind of just playing along.
Right.
Fu's like, oh, no, he's not doing anything wrong. Like, kind of, again, like, falls deeper into it. Like, it seems like she's starting to, like, you know, get feelings for this guy or something like that. She's like, she's starting to see things from his point of view. Mm. Meanwhile, Mugen and Jin are just sleeping, basically. I think I remember they're just, like, they're sleeping in hard. They disappear for a while.
Yeah. It's not really
in
this episode. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the pickpocket goes into town. He's trying to, like, basically offload these drugs.
Mm.
And, Fu runs into him and it's just like kind of giving him a guilt trip about, you know, what he's doing to his mom. Like, oh, you're doing all this dirty stuff. Like, if she ever found out, you know, it would kill her. Oh, we did find out the guy goes to visit his doctor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gives him the medicine and he's like, well, I can only give you so much with what I have. And it's not, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, there goes America.
Yeah exactly, right?
Exactly. I was about to say, that's just like our, this should just be free, man.
Right. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
He's like, I can basically give her stuff to keep living, but you can't afford anything that's going to make her better.
This is a business, right? I would have slapped the shit out of him. I would slap the dog shit out of him for that.
Yeah.
Like, I still have a business to run.
Yeah.
What?
My mom is dying. I'll break your damn neck.
Yeah.
And I'll make you give me the medicine.
And he even said it. He was like, there's a medicine that would make her a lot better. Like, so, don't tell me that. Just give me the medicine I can afford. Don't tell me there's, like, a fucking tear to my mother's health. Like,
Yeah.
It's a dick tease right there. Oh, I'm going to play with you a little bit. If you go, but you can't afford it. Oh, well, we're out of here.
Right.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, he would have to square up.
Yeah.
So he goes back out on the street. He's just like, fuck, I got to sell these drugs so I can get that medicine I know about but can't afford. And Fu runs into him and starts giving him the guilt trip. And meanwhile, drug dealers show up and are just like, hey, we know you're the dude.
Right.
Like, you fucking better pony up with those drugs, give them back, or we're going to basically fuck you up.
Yeah.
Fu starts screaming. And this dude's got, like, the cops roll up.
Mm.
And this dude's got no chill. Like, he should just be like, oh, the drug, like, those guys back there, like, they tried to just stick us up.
He had nothing to do with that situation.
No. Instead, like,
he could have been fine.
Instead, pulls out a knife. Holds it to Fu's throat and is like, back the fuck up. Like, I'll kill this woman right here if you don't give me some space. Which is the dumbest move of all time.
Right, and then turns into a hostage situation. And I'm like, bro, you literally could have got out of that scot-free.
Yeah.
Scot-free. And then you just want to turn up and like
show out, whatever it is. I don't know. This guy's an idiot.
He's no chill.
Yeah.
So he ends up like going inside the building. You know, he's got this hostage situation going on. Fu's in very familiar territory because she's been kidnapped 3-4 times now at this point. She, you know, just like she did with the monster dude, just starts like treating him like a human being for the first time in his life. And is just kind of talking to him. We find out a little bit more about her. Her dad was never really around.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out her mom was alive till about a year ago. She was kind of like a mischievous kid. Yeah. And then this, you know, sunflower samurai shows up and kills her. And she's just like, you know, I really should have, you know, probably listened to my mom more. She tries to impart that wisdom to this pickpocket.
Right.
Who doesn't want to hear any of it?
Right.
So while that's going on, Jin and Mugen show up outside and they're like, oh fuck, the pickpocket's in there. We should go inside. Well, Mugen says that.
Yeah.
Jin's like, let's, you know, chill out. Mugen's like, fuck that. Let's just go in. Starts like basically running over police on his way into the building. Meanwhile, the drug dealers have like broken in the back.
Yeah.
So they're like shimmying open windows, getting inside. They go upstairs and they're just like, all right, like you're cornered now. Like you're going to give us our drugs back.
Yeah.
Mugen shows up. police are right behind him. There's a big, like, giant three-way fight. There's a big scuffle.
Which is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Dope, yeah. Some chaos. And in the middle of that, the pickpocket just takes the opium and just tosses it up in the air.
Yeah. Mm.
And that, like, that one sad drug dealer, like, you know, trying to, like, scrape it all together. Up,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, trying to, like, if you ever, like, dropped your grinder, like, on the carpet, yeah, it just, yeah. like, scatters everywhere.
That's, like, that was a typical drug addict or drug dealer thing. Just, really, like, trying to scrape it up. Just, come yeah. on, don't yeah. do this. I need every bit of this.
Oh, my gosh. I saw a video one time of this dude that he spilled, like, promethazine, and he just spilled it on the floor. And that's just not like weed, where it's actually like a solid that you can kind of gather together. Yeah. Like, bro, you're trying to scrape up a liquid, bro. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah, let me. I'm like, bro, this is going. That's like trying to scrape up. Like, no, bro, stop it. You lost.
At that point, that's when you know you have an issue. If you know you need to get help, go somewhere. You're trying to scrape up liquid. That's ridiculous. Get a straw if that's the case.
Yeah, right. Like, get it with some paper towels and squeeze that out.
Exactly. Go get you some Bounty. Put the Bounty to the test and see if it's really the quicker picker upper. Because. That shit, I said, oh, god damn. Yeah.
So in the middle of that chaos, the pickpocket takes off out the window and tells Fu, like, I don't know why you just forget about me. And Fu's just like, no, I can't, and takes off after him.
He has a heart. He's ridiculous.
And all we get to see is basically he gets trapped in a corner, again, pulls out his knife for some dumb reason, and Fu just watches him get run through by the cops.
Yeah. Have you not seen all the YouTube videos about people getting killed by cops when right. you pull something out your pocket?
Yeah, he basically, yeah, just
and
suicide
he pulled
by cop.
Out what they want you to pull out in yeah. those situations.
I know, yeah. I know this is considered before that, well, you know, in those times in the anime. But right. fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for you guys, sure. too. Would you beat somebody up for, if they stole from you, mm-hmm. would you beat somebody up knowing that they were doing it for a good cause? Kind of like a little bit of a, not really Robin Hood, because you're still poor too, so that makes it worse. But would you beat somebody up, like, all right, you find out like this person stole $100 for you, but it was for to help his little sister get some, either some shit for school or some food or something like that?
I wouldn't. Honestly, I couldn't. I'd feel too bad. Like, as if it's like to help somebody, I'd be like, shit, like... I don't know. Like, there's other avenues. I wouldn't beat him up. I'd probably give him, like, you know, what the fuck? Like, there's definitely different shit you could be doing rather than stealing. But
right. yeah,
I'd be pissed. Yeah. I'd be mad. Like, I'm whooping ass.
Yeah.
And then after I whoop your ass, we can talk about it. Like, bro, this is not how you go about it.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, they've probably been doing that to people, but they feel yeah. like they have a good cause, so they get away. Like, no, I understand, but I'm going to whoop your ass to let you know, like, you can get your ass whooped for this.
Yeah,
sure.
But I understand where you're coming from, so let's figure out ways you don't have to do this. But yeah, you're getting your ass whooped.
Yeah, I'm thinking with ice on this.
Yeah.
And I might not necessarily beat the brakes off you, yeah. but I might give you a cold one to the face.
Yeah.
And then just be like, bruh, okay, give me my money back,
right.
one, and we're going to help you get something to help you out, whether it's right. help you get a job or help you, or I might let you have the money, but I'm going to sock you. You're going to learn this lesson,
right?
Yeah,
it's going to be repercussions.
Yeah,
give me the money back. One just for my, you yeah. know, for my discomfort.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I don't need you thinking that this is okay. You right, need to yeah. know that it's like you need to get smacked up a little bit. But okay, I understand what I did was wrong.
Sure.
And now I know I can, because if you would have asked me, I'm the type of person, like, instead of stealing from me, be like, yo, man, I see that it's genuine that I need something for something. And whatever I have, I would try to give you. That's just the type of person I've always
right,
been.
Right.
So that's why I'm more mad. It's like, motherfucker, I would have helped you if you right. would have just asked me.
Right. Yeah.
Even if you random, I'm not, you know, granted, somebody you know, you'll give them more money than you would a random person. But, like, even if you random, I would figure something out. Like, yeah. okay, you want this. I mean, like, I can't give you $50, but yeah. I can give you $5. You know, that's, you right. know, a
you're
step
on your way.
Closer.
Yeah, right. you're on your way now.
Yeah. yeah.
But. You,
yeah. yeah, I mean, it's tough, too. You see all these people out on the street, especially in L.A. People, exactly. like, everybody's got a story. You don't know who you can believe anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I always look at the teeth. That's what okay. I do. When I remember
that's
I had
fair.
I had a homeless. Seriously, I had a homeless guy, quote unquote, right? This guy is a few years ago. And he was like, man, I need some money. And this dude's dental plan was like better than mine. Perfectly straight teeth. Mm. Teeth were like they'd just been whitened.
Damn. Yeah.
And you look like he just put on clothes to go outside and work. And you hear about these guys making
their job.
Yeah, they make maybe a couple hundred to $1,000 a day
for sure.
Panhandling like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I looked at him. I was like, I said, I'll get you some ice cream from Baskin Robbins if you want some. Or I'll get you like a little chicken out of Rouse, but I'm not about to give you no bread, bro. He said, man, you, I don't need the food. Somebody just paid for some food for me. I said, man, get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
Nah,
you got
bro.
Bougie bums. Like, yeah. Bougie bums.
I mean,
bro.
In LA, that's what we definitely have.
For sure. Like, I remember living back in when I was living in Sun Valley, we had some people that would not live, but they would, you know, beg on the corner. And like every once in a while, like I'd be on my way home, like at sunset, and, you know, Corolla would come around and pick them all up. And they'd all head off together, you know.
Pieces of shit.
You know?
That's like that. I forgot what movie that was. I think it was a Wayne's Brothers movie from back in the day. They used to do that. They'd be like, yeah, man. And the Jamaican dude pulled off his suit.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was. I think it was I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, maybe. I forgot.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was the myth. That was it. I'm Gonna Get You Sucker. Yeah. And that's so funny. But that's a real thing. Like, bougie ass bums would be like, is that a penny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the only coins I take are dollar coins. No,
they add up, man.
Yeah.
Another quick question. To second this one. Do you think Fu did the right thing by not snitching? Because she could have told Mugen and them, but you think she did the right thing by not snitching because she knows how extreme at least Mugen is. I think if she tells Jin probably just like, all right, let's go talk to this guy. Let's grab the money. Let's do this safe. But she knows Mugen is an extremist. Do you think she did the right thing? And then, like, would you, like if this is your friend, somebody jacked your friends and you knew that, like, would you be like, all right, yo. Would you just try to handle it yourself? Like, hey, just give my friends their money back. They ain't got to know. I got one guy. Like, it's between me and Ice, Rob. And, you know, I'm the extremist. And Ice is pretty chill.
Yeah.
Like, this dude Keenan, man, he's a wild motherfucker, man.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he might kill you just for a dollar. Do you think she did the right thing by chilling on it?
You know, I think she did the right thing. I think everything bad that happened to this dude was his own damn fault. I think from the hostage situation to him getting killed in the end, every piece of that
was him. Yeah, it could have went totally different.
Yeah, it could have gone totally different. And I think she was right, because I think Mugen would have fucked him up. Yeah, maybe took his life.
Yeah, I think Mugen probably kills him and then be like, well, he shouldn't have stole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at least chop his hands off and be like, well, he won't steal again. Right. Some type of stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have tried to figure it out. That's always my approach, because I've always been like that guy that's like I'm cool about stuff, but I got people with me that's way worse. So I just even with like my girlfriend and stuff, like I remember one time I got into it with a dude at Walmart over a price or something, and you know, my girlfriend was trying to get it, and then they was like, no, you can't get it because it's a display one. And she was like, well, can you handle this? I'll be back. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm just talking to the dude like, hey man, like, we need to figure this both out, because if she comes back, we both getting cussed out. So, like, let's figure this out, and then, you know, to save both of our lives. And I think that'll be the situation. Like, hey, Keenan's crazy. You know, Rob's cool. Keenan's crazy. So we help me help you at this point.
Like, exactly.
It's for your own benefit.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I would definitely try to figure it out. I wouldn't tell them, because especially if you've seen your friends. Like, I've seen my friends. Or I've seen my girlfriend go off on people. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, you don't want these problems. Like,
and Walmart brings the worst out of you. When you're in Walmart, exactly, for some reason, the evil just comes out of you. That and McDonald's.
That exact.
Those two places.
I hate Walmart so much, but like, I'm not at a point in my life where I can, you know, consistently shop at Whole Foods.
I hear you.
Walmart is still the choice.
It's tough. So they wrap up the episode. Fu shows up back at. I'm sorry, Keenan. What did you think? Did you think she did the right thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she did the right thing only because of the people that she's around. If she didn't have Mugen and Jin, Mugen there, I think you tell. Because Mugen's an extremist. You don't want him to kill just innocent motherfuckers, and because he already has. He doesn't care. He's a wild card. So I think she did the right thing by not saying it. I was on a cuff, like I was on a defense at first about it, but I was just like, all right, yeah, he might chop this dude's hands off, and it's just like, just beat him down a little bit and grab the money. You ain't got to kill this guy.
Right.
So yeah.
So they wrap up the episode with Fu going back to visit the mom. She can't, like, basically, you know, come to the point where she can say out loud that, you know, your son's dead. But the mom figures it out.
Yeah.
And she's just like, he's not coming back, is he? And she's just like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. Maybe I'll see you again someday and maybe get some more of that food. But Fu, she's going to be dead by the next time you come
back. Fu was out here lying like a... The mom didn't even cry. She was just like, well, I'm dying anyways.
I knew this was going to happen. And she was kind of just like, well, that's what he gets. And Fu actually does, I think, give her a little bit of a talking to. It's just like, you know, he was a good son. Like, he was trying to do what he could for you. You know, you should have given him more than that. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's tough. It's like, at the end of the day, he threw it all away. Like,
you did it to yourself.
Like, yeah.
you escalated that whole situation. And even went to the point you backed into the corner. It's like, okay, hostage situation. You didn't murder anybody. Right. So, I mean, just in like to present day terms, like that person's not going to jail for life. Like maybe 15 years mm-hmm. if you, unless you take a deal or something. But it's like there yeah. really wouldn't have been anything crazy. They might, I don't know. I mean, back then it was different. He might have thought, figured that he was going to get executed anyway. But like you couldn't even, you shouldn't even got to that point.
Right. Yeah. And at this point, not one person anymore is looking out for his mom. He just right. gave his mom a death sentence.
Exactly.
Like, he could have figured out something maybe from the inside, but at this point, like...
Fu, and then Fu was just like, all right, all right. Like, peace. Yeah. Like,
thanks for the food. Right. She's a jerk. She got the food dipped, and but yeah, he didn't realize how selfish he was
yeah.
at all in this whole no. thing. He's thinking he's doing the right thing, but he put himself in the worst position. But yeah, go ahead, Rob.
So anyway, the next episode, even though she's just like, all right, well, I got places to go, people to see, they're still hanging around Edo this episode.
Yeah.
I guess a different part of town. So basically, we find out that they're hungry again, no money.
Oh, God.
Hungry again.
It's a common theme.
They
so
go,
before we move forward, so what did that episode do to push the story? Like, you learned a little bit more about Fu's background, but...
That's about it. Yeah,
about it.
She got, like, the dream sequence where she saw her mom, uh-huh. like, laid out.
With the yeah. stuff over her face and stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But that's really all that progressed the overall story.
Right. Yeah.
At all. That's really it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, they're hanging around town again. They're hungry again. They're like, all right, let's go to the pawn shop. Basically just, you know, try to get some money for what we got on us. Maybe get a meal or two out of it.
Right.
So they show up. They're all just like, hey, check out all these swords we got. You know, the guy's just like thinks that, you know, Fu's knife is just like all chipped and shitty.
Right.
You know, thinks that Mugen's sword is like all fucking weird and off brand. They're kind of like, all right, well, maybe he'll like Jin stuff. But the first thing that he sees on Jin that he really likes is his glasses.
Yeah.
He's like, nobody's got these. Let me hang on to those for a while. And so they're like, all right, cool. So they let him hang on to his glasses. They get some money for it. They go back into town. They're eating. Meanwhile, you got this other guy on the other side of town with like his whole beatbox crew behind him, like yeah. basically challenging anybody yeah. with glasses. Some poor old fat dude with glasses is right. just like, you're Jin, aren't you? And he's just like, all right, let's fight. And like, beats that dude's ass.
Yeah,
And so this, you've got this guy. He's kind of like, he reminded me a lot like a Hercule or Mr. Satan character.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Know? He did, sure. Yeah.
Got a lot of bluster, telling everybody, like, what a big deal he's going to be someday.
Right.
So they're having their meal. That guy's in the corner, and he sees Fu, and he's just like, oh, that 15-year-old girl over there, why don't you go over there? I'm too scared to talk to her. Why don't you go bring her a pear or something?
Right.
And have her come over and talk to me. She's not impressed.
Yeah, he has him go over there. He beatboxes to her and everything.
Has his man go over there.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was actually pretty cool. I've never seen somebody go, all right, go beatbox to a chick to holler at her for me. That's some kind of unique type shit.
I don't think that would be successful. Like, if I said, yo, Keenan, that girl over there is fine. I know you a cold ass beatboxer. Go do that.
Well, not in that particular case. I think if we had like at one of those like underground hip hop clubs, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, yo, this is the real hip hop, not that mainstream shit. And then you had, and then I was like, yo, go beatbox to this chick. She might be like, wow, you can actually beatbox, but then you might actually take it from me. She might be going to you.
This is the guy with the skills, this is the guy with the talent.
Yeah, you're
oh,
just a,
oh, no,
you're,
no, no. That, yeah, my man's over there. I don't want you.
Yeah.
You could be too busy beatboxing.
Yeah. Anyway, here's this pair.
She's just so random too. Just give you a fucking shout out to the pair. Like, what are you like? Come on.
So she's not interested. She's just like, you know, it's tough out here being a woman. You guys wouldn't really get it. Meanwhile, there's this busty lady drinking sake at the other end of the bar that spots Mugen and Jin and is just like, oh, she spots a couple of marks that she can basically make some easy money off of, which I was immediately like, all right, she's up to no good.
Right.
Because every busty woman we've seen on the show so far has been up to no good.
Exactly.
They're immediately like, yeah, cool, especially Mugen. He's like, let's go. And so she takes him to this, you know, European bar.
Right.
Meanwhile, Fu's just like, all right, well, she gets a little jealous and she's just like, fine, I'll take this date with this weird, like, beatboxing guy. That'll show them.
What makes it messed up, because they're already making this girl insecure about her body.
Right.
Right, this is just like nowadays with these young girls looking at Instagram models with fake either whatever. But even in this case, she's 15. This is a grown woman. Right. You shouldn't be as busty as her.
You shouldn't be. You ain't even in the game yet.
Yeah, you're still getting your bust.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are you like? It's fucked up that she's now she's comparing. Because she shows in here that she kind of feels Jen a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
And then you see her like she's like, this is what they like. Like this is like. You're comparing yourself to a woman that's fully developed.
Yeah. Yeah, she's getting fucked up in the head a little
bit. And even if she never develops, oh, fucking well.
Oh, well, man.
You don't have no titties? Fine.
Yeah, they keep telling her she's like, well, Mugen keeps telling her she's flat as a board.
Yeah, right. He's mad disrespectful.
He really is.
But it's like, yo, you're 15 and flat as a board. That's
and he still wanted to rape her.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I remember being 15. Some were busty, but I also remember being some were still developing. So nobody was tripping like that. Like,
right.
But these are grown men. Like, yo, man, you ain't got no breast yet, and I'm 27. Like, why you ain't got none?
Right.
Like, this is...
Right. Well, as much as she's feeling Jen, I think Mugen a little bit is, like, feeling her a little bit, as much as he doesn't want to admit it. I think he's doing that little bit, like, you know, boy on the schoolyard thing, where pushing her down, making fun of her, you know, that kind of thing.
I can see that, yeah.
I think that's definitely there, to a point.
That's never been my game, either.
Yeah.
Like, I never, like...
I'm a dish you, so you like me?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Nah. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
So they head off with her to this, like, European wine bar. She's just like, oh, you got to try this, like, you know, this wine that these Europeans have brought over. And she drinks him under the table.
Yeah.
Well, she drinks gin under the table. Gin is apparently a lightweight.
Yeah.
He's passed out at the bar, you know, a few glasses in. Mugen can keep up a little bit. Mm. So she poisons him.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened the last time he hung out with a busty lady and got drunk with her.
Yeah. First of all, this is a repeating theme. Like, already. We're not even 10 episodes in.
Yes.
And they repeated the busty girl poisoning the guy. It's like, shit, y'all running out of ideas already?
Already.
Pretty much.
They had to. I mean, we'll talk about that later, but yeah, they're running out of ideas.
Ran out of ideas.
We'll get to that.
And then it's like, yo, like at the end of the day, like how good, like for you guys to be so intelligent, well, at least Jen to be that intelligent, but you guys to be on the, at least, and then Mugen at least being very street smart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trusting anybody after I got drugged by somebody.
Right.
No.
I'm very skeptical when it comes to drinks and people be like, yeah, go keep drinking. Go out, buy another one. I'm like, all right, what's the motive here?
Right.
Yeah.
At least
that's
how I am.
And it's so random. Like y'all just chilling, eating food and pears. And then it's just random.
They've made their living killing people and, you know, robbing people in this town.
Yeah.
And they don't think, like, somebody might have something against them.
And I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, okay, Jim playing it cool, trying to act like he know what's going, you know, act like he's, you know, oblivious to it all. And then you got Mugen, he's just going to be like, he's going to turn the table on it. But, like, no.
Nope. No.
They both got duped. So I'm like,
yeah.
Again.
How?
I don't know. So anyway, Fu goes on her date with I think I actually got his name here somewhere.
Big guy?
Yeah, the beatboxing dude. Nagamitsu.
Yeah.
Nagamitsu. I'm not going to remember that.
No, he called himself Big Guy or whatever.
Big Guy.
Like, yeah. Big Guy.
Big Guy. So they're sitting up on the, you know, the hillside, you know, up by the Hollywood sign or whatever.
Right.
Overlooking the city. And he's like telling her his life story, just like, you know, oh, you're going to hear about me. Like, this is my story. I wanted to, like, you know, come here and, like, challenge the most, you know, did he say he was from the mainland? Did he say he was from China?
I don't remember, to be honest.
I don't remember. Yeah. Anyway, he comes over and he's looking to challenge the best swordsman, build up his reputation. And,
right.
And he basically can't... He hears about this swordsman that's won 1,000 duels and nobody's beat him. So he goes to track him down at his school, at his dojo, and turns out the guy's been killed by his most promising student, guy that wears glasses named Jin.
Yeah.
So that's why he's like, oh, I'm looking for this guy with glasses named Jin. And Fu's just like, oh, fuck, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah. She kept, like, twitching every time she said he said his name.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
It's a weird little sequence.
Yeah, and she's being weird about it. He's not catching on to any of it. He thinks she's just being coy and cute or whatever. So she's just like, well, you know, this has been a really nice time. I'm going to run off and, like, maybe I'll see you tomorrow. And he's just like, oh, cool. Like, she's totally into me. This is the type of woman I like. Playing hard to get.
It cannot read women. That's like most men. We can't read women for shit.
No.
Go ahead.
Really can't. Really can't. Yeah. So she heads off and, you know, basically tells him, like, hey, this guy's, like, looking for you, I think. But she shows up and they're basically, like, passed out.
Yeah.
You know, they're passed out, drunk, hungover, you know, poisoned, whatever.
Yeah.
Broke.
Yeah.
And how do they get the money again that they're going to go buy his glasses back? Do you guys remember? This isn't a quiz. I honestly do not remember.
The the street show, right? Isn't that what?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're hungover as hell.
Yeah, they do the whole slicing the apples off her head. Yeah,
like you take the bottom one. He's like, okay.
Yeah,
while drunk, I'm not. First of all, I'm not trusting any motherfucking inebriated. I don't care how skilled you are.
Right.
No.
You got the best sniper in the world. If he's faded.
Nah.
He's like, I'm going to take a shot. Now you go. I don't give a fuck.
Even if you don't kill me, if you scrape the side of my head, I'm never going to forgive you.
No, not at all.
First and last time.
Yeah. I did some shit like that before. But I wasn't drunk. I just made a bad decision. Like, I used to, like, jump over people.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a thing that I used to do at parties. Like, oh, because I was a jumper. And, and it was like, oh, jump over me. I'm like, okay, cool. But then it was, like, this 6'7 dude. And then I didn't have one. I had on, like boat shoes damn near. There's like moccasins. That's what I had. I don't like moccasins. He was like, yo, jump over me. And I've jumped over that dude because he's 6'7 1,000 times because he ran track too. Yeah. And then we just had a party and it was like, Ice, jump over me, bro. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I got you. And these fucking moccasins, like I couldn't get up at all. I completely like destroy his like
straight.
And it was front on. Usually I could jump from behind him, but I did it from the front. Like, I fucking teabag the fuck out of this dude just by trying to jump over me. He falls, I fall, like I fuck my knees up, like it was bad.
Sack in the face, just straight. Bastard. That's
it was
tough.
Bad.
That's really tough.
So I'm with you on that. Like don't do that when people are inebriated or anything like that. Like
not worth the risk. Not worth it. So they get the money from doing the street show. Nobody gets their head chopped off, luckily. And they're like, all right, let's take our money, go get Jin's glasses back, and get the fuck out of town.
Right.
So that they go do that, and while they're in the pawn shop, they run into Big Guy, who's there with his crew. They're basically trying to pawn off their cart,
because
they need some money. And meanwhile, the pawn shop owner's just like, all right, well, here's your glasses back, and immediately he's just like, oh shit, you're the guy I've been looking for all along. So, but it turns out that Big Guy isn't the guy that's been looking for him.
Right.
Because it's his dude.
Yeah,
his
side guy.
Yeah.
And this wasn't not the beatbox guy, just the other one of his followers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, yeah, I was from the school that was next to yours. You killed your master. You brought dishonor upon all of us. I'm not exactly sure why Jin killing his master dishonors a guy from another school, but it did.
Right.
It did, apparently.
Oh, God.
That old Bushido code.
Exactly. Yeah. So they take it out into the street. And they're about to, go at it. Jin just knocks a dude's sword out of his hand and is basically like, I could kill you. I'm not going to kill you. You should run around and tell everybody else that's looking for me that, they can come and get these problems, basically.
You run and tell that.
Yeah.
you run, tell that. Anybody want these hands or these swords? Come catch the fade.
And the guy's like, all right, I'll go do that. So he runs off. Meanwhile, busty lady comes around the corner. And turns out she's the wife of Big Guy.
Oh, yeah. God.
And she's just like, Foo, basically, you'll grow into these dresses or whatever. You'll learn how to run these men someday.
Still taking shots.
Pretty much. And that's pretty much, that's that episode. That one wraps up right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's next
but you
one.
Get a little bit more backstory on Jin. You see that, like.
That's true.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. You bring up a good point. I forgot to mention that is Jin just does say, like, yes, I killed my master, but I didn't betray him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we don't really know what's up with that. But there's some deeper story to what's going on with
and
Jin.
And he's not as good in, Saint. Like as we thought he was.
Right.
So. Right. Right.
Yeah. Fu, when she hears about this, is at first just like, no, that can't be the Jin that I know.
Right.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't want to believe. Even she knows that that's bad.
That's right. A Mugen
thing. Bad thing. And,
it's a Mugen thing, definitely.
But it turns out to be true.
Yeah.
Right.
And turns out that Jin is the guy that beat the sword, the duelist that won 1,000 duels.
Yeah.
So he's
so that
pretty
also
fucking
shows,
good.
Yeah, that shows how,
the beast.
Yeah.
How cold he is.
Yep. So the next episode, they're finally on the road. They got to make it to this checkpoint. This one kind of starts off with like a weird, Tarantino flashback sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where, it starts off, well, I guess not Tarantino because it's 30 years in the future.
Yeah, 30 years. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this guy's like on his last day of retirement. He's like, I'll always remember that day. Things got real, real crazy.
Yeah.
And flashback, turns out it's Jin, Fu, and Mugen.
Yeah.
They're on their way to this checkpoint that's notoriously hard to get through if you don't have your traveling papers.
Mm. Right.
They manage to get some fakes that immediately get ID'd as fakes, and they're arrested by the people at this, way station, this toll booth or whatever, customs. They get pulled over by customs, and they're like, the guy running the show at the time was super harsh and was basically killing people
because
he liked to.
That's wild.
Which was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
And while they're waiting to kill, like, Jin, Fu, and Mugen, they're about to, like, cut their heads off, basically, when they get a message saying, like, hey, some guy that they're saying came through here, turns out he's wanted somewhere else, so we gotta, like, take him out of prison and send him off to this other place to answer for his crimes.
Mm.
Turns out they killed him already.
Right. Yeah.
So, which is a problem.
Right.
So they're like, all right, let's turn this situation to our advantage. You guys can go free if you basically deliver the head of this guy to this next town over. But you got to go through these woods that are filled with bandits.
Yeah.
So they pick Mugen being the fastest. Jin and Fu stay behind. And Mugen runs off. And sure enough, he's into the woods. And not too long after that, well, he runs into some jogger who pops up a few times. Just some like weird
random
comic relief, really weird thing. He's, I'm out here for my health. Is that a problem? Anyway, so he's out there. And then eventually starts getting followed by these, like, you know, some sort of like weird priests.
Yeah.
And as he's going through there, like he's running away from them and he gets into this weird bamboo patch. And immediately I'm like, that looks like weed.
Yeah.
That plant looks like that's supposed to be like some sort of weed plant.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's basically what it is.
That's what it turned out to be.
Kind of like a hallucinogen. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's like some weird thing that these guys smoke. Like there was like purple smoke. They're like hanging out and they're just like, this like, you know, plant like, you know, makes everybody peaceful, forgets their hate, but they don't want to let us smoke it. So let's kill all of them. Which is like, how the fuck does that make any sense?
That escalated quickly. Just imagine being there talking about that. Like, let's kill them all. Wait, what? Hold on.
So back in the town, or back at customs, Jin and Fu are just like, you think he's coming back? Like, because he's got until sundown and we haven't seen anybody. And you know, Jin's just like the whole time he's not coming back. So they're in trouble. Meanwhile, like the customs people have sent, you know, this retirement dude back in his younger days out to follow Mugen just to make sure he doesn't run off. He gets spotted by these warrior priest people, these weed priests, and is just thrown in there with them.
Weed priests, I like that.
So they stay. So they have like a breakout scheme, and then they start basically burning all of their weed.
Yeah.
During the breakout,
because they set the fire as a decoy.
Yeah,
as a distraction.
Set the whole crop on fire.
Which that's normally how fire works. It's kind of hard to contain.
Especially back in the day when everything's made out of like bamboo and straw and wood.
Exactly.
Like,
and you're in the
fire
woods.
Was like, ooh,
It got up real quick.
More things to burn.
So they're having this like, Mugen is fighting all these dudes out in the woods. Meanwhile, Fu and, you know, Jin are getting crucified, literally crucified up on the crosses.
It was poking her in her titties and stuff.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Chill out.
Yeah. So those guys got a little too excited for these executions.
Yeah.
So this fire basically starts this huge, like, you know, brush fire out in the weed field, and all that purple smoke starts coming up. And as like Mugen is fighting these dudes, they start tripping.
This might be my favorite scene so far in this whole thing.
How
it was drawn and everything like that. That was pretty cool.
With them fighting and everything, and then and then he like starts. His hair gets like super big.
Like
his eyes. Yeah. That was pretty dope.
It's kind of like a little trippy, little acid trip, I guess, a little thing, how they kind of did it. Because that's why I was like, is it weed or is it like some type of hallucinogen?
Yeah.
And you see like the sticks get real big when a dude's trying to hit him and Mugen
just like,
charges at him. Like, yeah. But he looks mad funny jumping at him because he's stretching.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a funny scene.
That was pretty dope.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. The animation style, the change was pretty sweet. Yeah. And then
I guess something about that weed made him gay.
Yeah.
That was just kind of like.
Yeah, because like that's the thing. Like the smoke spreads to the town, and meanwhile, Jin and Fu are up on the cross, like I guess like, outside of the smoke.
Yeah.
Everybody on the bottoms just starts fucking.
Yeah.
Everybody on the bottom just starts fucking. Men, women, children, everybody's going at it.
You know, I didn't know it. I guess in this particular time, I guess like in this culture or whatever, like there's a lot of like gay things going on in these communities.
Yeah.
Like,
they mentioned it.
It's like the third or fourth time they say it in there, and the bond between a man and a man is like.
Even bigger than, you know, being heterosexual.
That's Greek shit.
Yeah, and they say like we were on like par with the Greeks or whatever.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was like, oh, wait, we got something for you.
For those that are paying attention, here you go. So while that, you know, bacchanalia is going on, they managed to get down from the fucking crosses and, you know, make their way out of town. And they're just like, you know, whatever happened to Mugen?
Yeah.
And then the episode ends with them finding him, like, you know, basically
singing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Smoking with the warrior priests are all just hanging out and chilling. They're just like, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Roll credits. So I don't know. They ended up getting through customs, but it was a weird one.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Do you remember that day?" Whatever he called him. He called him something. He was like, "Do you remember that day, huh?" He was talking about Mugen.
Yeah.
He's like, "I remember that day for the rest of my life." Like, wait, did y'all have sex too or something?
Yeah.
And he was just sitting there reminiscing about it like homegirl from the Titanic. Like,
they were having
a long time ago.
They were having a time. So the next episode, I'm trying to think. Because the next one, they're still on the road.
Yeah.
Broken Hungry again. Mm-hmm. Like they start most episodes.
Yeah. Formula. Thing.
Yes.
So they run into this priest that's basically, you know, looking for alms on the road. And they're like, "Listen, man, I'm sorry. We can't afford anything. Like, we'd pay you, but we can't." Mm. And he's just like, "Well, that's great to hear because I also run this inn or this temple. You guys, like, just help me clean it up and you can stay there for free. I'll feed you, you know, just basically do the work."
Yeah.
So Jin and Fu are working really hard. Mugen, on the other hand, is just like, "Fuck all this. I'm off." Right. He basically takes off on the road. And we find out that there's this guy in town. We see a quick little fight scene. This other fighter, he doesn't have like a samurai sword. He's got something a little bit different. And he's challenging people. Was he challenging somebody or did they come up to him? Oh, he runs into the guy on the road. It's like right. Nighttime.
Yeah.
And the guy's kind of, he's like a little bit drunk. And he's like, "All right," like, he says like, "Oh, you're so-and-so from this school." And he's like, "Yeah, that's me." Mm. He's like, "I wanted to challenge you." So they end up like squaring off. And like they do their dual stance, and the guy just like starts throwing up blood.
Yeah,
you know,
crazy.
The drunk dude just starts throwing up blood, and like that's it. And we don't know what happened. Anyway, we cut to the three main characters, and they do their whole thing with the priest, and you know they're doing their work, and Mugen takes off, and he starts hearing rumors about this sword killer, right? The samurai killer.
Yeah, samurai killer. Yep.
Yeah. And so he's just like, "Oh, like I want to hear about this guy." Turns out there's a giant bounty on his head.
Yeah.
You know, if I can catch this guy, maybe I can get paid.
I get that bread. We good. We ain't got to worry about doing bullshit to eat anymore.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep. I'm not chopping wood anymore. Meanwhile, the samurai killer is trying to cross this bridge, and this jack dude, you know, or, no, wait, I'm thinking of the, am I thinking of the right one?
No, he's across. No.
Oh no, I'm thinking of big guy earlier in that other episode.
Yeah,
the guy.
It was
the
big
glasses.
Dude, but he didn't end up fighting. He didn't end up fighting a bigger guy.
Yeah, right. He's crossing the bridge, and like a bunch of dudes are like, "Hey, why don't you like you know give us your money?" He's just like, I don't think you guys know what the situation is.
All right, if you want to do this,
So he, you know, basically does his thing to one of the dudes who also starts throwing up blood and just collapses. Basically.
I thought one of his little sidekick wasn't like this little chick that was with him. He had like a little, there's some girl like killed somebody. Didn't he have like a girl with him too at one point?
No, I don't think so.
I thought he had, maybe I'm tripping.
Yeah, I don't think I don't remember him having a
girl.
I mean, yeah, this anime has not been the best, but yeah.
A lot of repetitiveness. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously you and I are a little bit confused because there's a lot of scenes on bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
people having fights.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So he basically, you know, that guy throws up blood and he takes off and they're just like, "Oh, there he was, the samurai killer. He must have been here," basically. And Mugen's like, "Okay, I'm on the right track."
Yeah. Right.
So basically, back at the temple, you know, Fu and Jin are kind of like, you know, getting a little bit more chummy with the priest. Jin figures out that this guy isn't all he appears to be.
Right.
You right. Because he's chopping that wood.
He's chopping wood, and like this piece of wood almost like slaps this guy in the back of the head, and the guy like reaches back and catches it.
Yeah.
Without even looking. And he's like, "Oh, okay, this guy's got some training."
Yeah.
So meanwhile, later on, he's helping him out in the tub, and he just like pulls out his sword, and the guy dodges it. Mm. Fu kind of walks in and is just like, "Oh, did I interrupt something?"
Yeah. You know? Disrespectful. This guy's defenseless in a tub. Butt naked, dangling out in the hot water.
What if he was wrong?
Yeah,
He would have been dick out and headless.
Yeah, like Jin would roll up to Fu. Is like, "We gotta go."
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm not like this.
We really gotta go.
That was a fluke. That's, have you guys seen the? It's kind of like the Boondocks when Stink Meter fights Grandpa.
I don't know that.
And
one.
Oh yeah, and he was like, Stink Meter's like this blind dude.
Yeah,
and then Grandpa is like fully capable of fighting him. So he fights. First time he runs into him, like the blind dude whoops his ass, but it's just because his cane hit him, and he's like, he just put two and two together and just swung at the right time.
Yeah.
So he like sets up a boxing match against a fucking blind dude, not realizing it was a fluke.
Yeah.
And then he just beats the dog shit out of him the second time around. And it's like, bro, he's fucking blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, it's just, that's the same thing as
that's
like,
hilarious.
That would have been so funny if he would have cut his head off.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. So Mugen is still bumming around town looking to find. He basically starts hanging out like around the big sword fighters, thinking like, if I hang around with these guys that have a reputation,
right,
you know, this samurai killer will show up.
Right.
Turns out that Mugen's still the baddest dude around. And as he's like hanging around with these, he basically scares off everybody he tries to hang out with.
It's crazy how everybody bitches out. Like, all the people that's hyped up to be super good, they just end up being whack as fuck. Like,
pretty much. Yeah. It seems to be one of the themes. I don't know.
And that's been the theme since even the dudes that came in with, like, the governor's son in the first episode.
Yeah.
12, 11 episodes later, it's still like, oh, I'm supposed to be big and bad, but I ain't really shit.
Yeah, and this is, like, up until this point, other than the other assassin that Jin ran into in that monster episode, nobody's really challenged them at all.
Mm-mm.
Like, they haven't had any issues. Other than each other, they have no issues with the sword fights.
That's crazy.
It's no issue at all. So Mugen then is just like, he's looking around for this guy. Can't find him anywhere. He's like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go get a drink. So he goes to the sake bar. All he can afford is one cup. Meanwhile, there's this dude sitting next to him. It's like, ah, you know, I'm done drinking. I'm a little bit tipsy already. Why don't you take the rest of mine?
Yeah.
So, you know, Mugen's just like, all right, I'll do that. Drops the cup. Guy catches it and Mugen spots him.
No, Mugen he drops it. Mugen catches it.
Oh, right. Okay. That's right. So anyway, they basically ID each other just like, okay, like basically it's on.
Yeah.
So they step out into the street and they start to have like a little, you know, a little back and forth, a little sword play. And, you know, the samurai killer hits him with whatever it was that he's got. Basically like a blast of wind.
Right. Yeah.
Mugen dodges it, but like there's a giant cut on his hand.
Right. Yeah.
And meanwhile, everybody's just like, oh shit, it's the samurai killer. Call the cops. Like, so cops start coming in. The guy's just like, all right, if you want to finish this, meet me here the next full moon and we'll do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they split. Basically, Mugen goes back to the, meets up with Jin and Fu, and we kind of get a backstory about this samurai killer.
Yeah.
And we find out that, you know, this priest is actually one of the guys that trained him. The guy took off for the mainland. He wound up in China, basically learned some techniques from these Shaolin monks, learned how to, like, harness his chi, use his chi, and, like, use that in conjunction with the samurai training and made him super deadly.
Yeah. Right.
So he comes back to Japan and is just like, I know all this shit. I can basically, like, I'm the master now.
Yeah, he got mad because he got, like, banned from, like, all the dojos. The dojos.
Because they were sparring or whatever. Like, they were just having a friendly match, and he kills the dude.
Yeah.
And it was just, and they're just like, well, you can't do that.
Yeah, very dishonorable.
You got to go.
Yeah.
And he gets pissed. He's just like, well, you know, I'll show you guys.
Yeah.
So he runs around and basically starts killing all the dojo masters.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, all right, you know what? I fucked up. I got to retire. I got to become a priest. So he does, like, the whole Obi-Wan thing where he's just like, I'm out of the game. Like, I'm just going to just chill. Mm. Yeah, I'm out of here. I fucked up. So Mugen's just like, well, all right, I'm going to do some training. He does his whole training, like Rocky montage or whatever, chopping wood, meditating, you know, doing the finger lifts. And, so then he meets up with the dude at the next full moon and, they start to have their duel. They're just like, this is the first time I've been challenged in so long. Like, I'm having the time of my life. Then finally, like, you know, Mugen kind of puts this guy on the ropes and he's just like, all right, I'm going to finish this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he starts to bust out his chi move. And then it seems like Mugen's got it too.
Yeah.
Whether he learned it or picked it up during his training or whatever, they both hit each other.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's just like, fine, I'm going to finish this. Samurai killer charges Mugen, who thinks that he's knocked Mugen on his ass.
Mm.
Turns out Mugen's playing dead, pulls out his knife, jams it right into the guy's gut.
Yeah.
Fight's over.
That's it.
Yeah. And I did like in that episode that the fact that Mugen actually had to train and he had to pick his skill up, which I think gives him that probably might give him an edge over Jin if they do have to fight at the end.
He's got the chi thing going for him.
That's huge.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the better episodes.
I would agree.
I think this is the best one.
Yeah, so this might be the best episode so far. And it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't.
It's not hard to top.
Just kind of like we said about having the best live action anime movies. Like,
yeah.
Bars low.
Super
low. Yeah.
So the next the episode ends there. We never find out if they get the bounty or the money or any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next episode starts off. They're still in that same town, I think. It's been raining for days.
Yeah.
Jin passes this woman on the bridge and he's just like, you know, looks like you're thinking about killing yourself. Don't do it. She's like, ah, I wasn't thinking about that. You know, it's cool. I'm fine. Yeah. So,
oh shit, I totally forgot about that episode.
Yeah,
I thought it was the recap episode.
Yeah,
there's one more before that.
Yeah, it is.
So they basically, Jin is just on his way to his, you know, his part time job as like the eel cook.
Shit.
He doesn't know what he's doing. It's his first day. He's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So the woman that he had basically told not to jump shows up and she's like, I'll help out.
Yeah.
She ends up staying with him the whole day.
He's very generous.
Yeah.
Working.
So, you know, they have a connection.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
vibe.
Yeah. And he's just like, hey, you know, I'd like to see you tomorrow. She's like, actually, this is my last free day. I'm, you know,
about to go be a hoe.
Yeah. My husband's got some gambling debts, so I got to go work those off in the whorehouse.
Oh, God.
So she's married to a real winner. Meanwhile, you know, Fu and Mugen are like trying to run the beetle fighting ring,
which is hilarious.
Which
yeah.
is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't, is that a real thing? Do you guys know?
I don't know. I think they do kind of so. Like little bug. I think I heard about bug stuff like that. Little
really?
Bug fights.
Little
yeah.
bug fights.
Yeah. I've never heard of anything like that. Yeah. Always dogs or roosters or some shit like that.
Roosters definitely.
Yeah.
I've never heard of bugs.
I've even heard of like in Japan, like I think in like Okinawa, they'll have like you know, mongoose and snake fights because they both have like from what I understand, just like a brief like tangent. Like apparently they had a huge snake problem on this island. Then they brought a bunch of mongooses there because they're like a natural predator of the snakes to like basically take care of the snakes. But then they just like went to their separate sides of the island and like don't fuck with each other. So like
wow,
they just have a ton of mongooses there and a ton of snakes. And they don't actually do anything. So to like curtail the population, they're just like, all right, like we'll basically bet on these like fighting each other.
Damn.
And they'll have like mongoose and snakes fight each other and you can bet on it.
Hilarious.
That's crazy.
Anyway.
That's crazy.
So Jin and Mugen and Fu are doing that whole thing, trying to train up this bug, trying to get their money that way. While, you know, Jin is on this whole thing, you know, he's basically
Captain
falling in love.
Save-a-ho.
Yeah, he's he's basically like, all right, well, you know, he falls real hard for this chick very fast.
Yeah.
He's just like hanging outside the whorehouse, just like watching her, and she's just like, you know, you gotta get out of here. I'm trying to make money
because
I don't want to be here forever.
Right.
And, you know, he gets beat up by her pimp, basically. He's just like, you know, this isn't, you know, not time for a free show. Like, you either pay to like sleep with these ladies or you get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And they kick the shit out of him.
And they beat him up and he lets him because he can he can easily beat their ass.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He lets him beat. That's how much he loves her. He's like, I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. So he rolls back into their hideout, all beat up, and he finds out that they won some money on their bug fights, and he's just like, "Give me that! Mm-hmm. Like, I'll pay you back someday, I guess."
I want to buy this chick.
Yeah. So he That's shows crazy. Back up, and he's just like, "All right, I'm gonna buy this time with this girl." At first, he's just like, "No, I just want to hang out." They end up banging anyway.
Yeah.
It seems like he
was gay.
Yeah, and that's what Mugen said. That's what Mugen. He's just like, I think it's good that he's hanging out with. I thought he was into dudes after all this while, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, he's having this moment with her, and he's just like, you know, I wish it would rain here forever so we could just hang around and like getting that real sentimental stuff. And they end up sleeping together. You know, whether she charges him for it or not, I don't know. But he's like, I got a plan. I'm going to get you out of here. And she's like, no, I can't leave. Like, basically, my husband's a piece of shit. Like, if I leave, like, I won't be able to see you. I won't be able to see anybody. That's a whole different kind of prison.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to leave.
Yeah, if he has to be there for, like, 3 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, she can't divorce him. She's got no rights. The women have no rights at this point. Like, she can't leave her husband because he's a piece of shit.
Right.
Which he is. And you find this, like, little flashback. He's, like, beating the shit out of her because she doesn't want to, like, go into prostitution.
And he has no teeth.
Yeah.
I thought because she says he was, like, a big businessman and made a bunch of money.
He was
something
rich.
Some clean cut. Just asshole. He come in looking like
Snagatoo.
Fucking meth head. Like, bro, meth ain't even out yet, and he found it. Like,
he did. And so anyway, he's gambled all his money away, and he's basically making his wife hook it to basically make his money back.
Sick me.
And so Jin's just like, all right, well, I got a plan. And so meanwhile, he comes back and he busts her out. Fu Fu and Mugen.
Yeah.
Are kind of like, they show up later and they're just like, oh shit, like there's this trouble going down where he's trying to run away with this girl.
Yeah.
They end up kind of covering for him. He's just like beating people up. Like he's just like, all right, I'm going to beat these guys up with my fist. Mugen shows up, immediately starts cutting people down.
Yeah.
Gets to murder very quickly.
Right.
So, you know, they take off. You know, Jin and this girl are making their way to the boat, and he gets her on the boat and he's just like, you just got to get across this river and you're good. Her husband shows up and is just like, oh, you can't leave me. And she's basically, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, piece of shit. Like,
thank goodness she got the the heart to be like, finally, I'm done with you because you're a piece of shit.
She saw them teeth and she was like, no.
Never mind.
She's like, do that.
I got with a man with teeth. Wait a second. I upgraded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she gets on the boat and, you know, basically, I saw he killed, like, the guards that came after him.
Yeah, that was because
he gets
dudes.
His swords back. Did he kill the husband, too?
No, I don't think he did.
I don't think
he did either, but I wasn't sure.
And she thought that Jin was going to go on the boat with him.
Yeah.
She's like, he was like, nah, bitch. And then just kicked the,
kicked the
boat.
You did all this work, and you made her go dolo.
Yeah, maybe in a few years he'll be back. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that basically is how that episode ends. The next one was basically only a half episode because it was a recap one.
Yeah.
All basically is Jin and Mugen going like, you know, shit, we don't know anything about this, you know, this Sunflower Samurai, which me as an audience member is thinking, fucking me neither.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing. Like, you know, we don't really have anything that we're building towards. We don't know anything about this. So they sneak, you know, Fu's diary away from her and are reading it, and it's just a recap of all these last episodes.
Yeah.
And it ends with this like big joke of like she made everything up.
Yeah, she made everything
up. But even though we know
she didn't, yeah,
that is what happened.
Yeah. Right.
But we find out a little bit there that she's kind of crushing on Jin a little bit.
A little bit.
So yeah, the last episode.
But he's attractive.
Yeah. The last episode didn't really mean
shit. Mugen was like, what the fuck?
I did have a question about the last episode, the episode before that.
Yeah.
Would you have your girl or wife pay your debt that way? If that's the only way she had to, what would you do? If she had to pay your debt by being a whore for a year?
No, man.
No.
No.
Not at all.
That is so fucked up.
Yeah, like I don't.
If you don't pay it, what? I go to jail or I die?
Cause I think his thing was he's supposed to do like some jail time or something like that.
I'd do the jail time.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. You could do 20 years.
Ooh. What kind of debt is that? It's fucking grand larceny.
You're faced for 20 years, and either she has to be work just at a whorehouse.
Throwing it back.
It's like she works for a whorehouse. She gets out. Is she coming back? Like,
right. You're a different woman after that.
You're a different woman.
All those dicks, you're a different woman.
You're a different woman. One, mentally, not just dicks. Mentally, she's tapped. She's done.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part about it. And then as I know, as men, we're not very good at taking it when our woman is giving herself to somebody. Exactly. Not even giving herself, but being taken now. Even in that sense, are you going back and being like...
And how is sex after that?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. How is being intimate after a year?
There's no going back.
Y'all got to go your separate way. It's basically, at that point, it's just like, hey, I'm doing this for you. And then after that, we're done. Like,
honestly, I'm not... I'm figuring out something for when we get the fuck out of here. If we got to skip town.
Yeah. We got to do something.
Yeah, I'm not letting you. No way I'm letting you be a whore. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing 20.
Right.
I can't. I'm not built for that.
Yeah, right. Not at all.
So
I got long hair. I can't go to nobody's jail.
Yeah. I got hazel eyes. I think I'm a little too beautiful for this shit.
Yeah.
So we got to get the fuck up out of here. So I would think I would figure something else for us to dodge, like get out of Dodge, go to Mexico or some shit like that. But, and I have one last question.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the overall question to this. With the whole, the whole loyalty to your school and, you know, the dojo. I forgot what you called it.
Was it Bushido?
The Bushido code,
Bushido,
right?
Code, Bushido? Yeah.
What would be your, like, Bushido code? What would be something that you think you're that good at that you would go learn under and you would challenge people to the death for?
Fuck.
Like you know, whether it's, like, singing, you know, music or, you know, we're Ice and I are both stand-up comedians. Mm-hmm. Like what would you feel that confident in to be like, yo, I challenge you.
Yeah, all right.
And then you to the fucking death.
Oof. I think it'd be something comedy oriented, whether it's stand up or because I got into it with a lot of comedians a year ago because I said Kevin Hart was one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, you know, a lot of comedians, especially, you know, tenured comedians, they shit on Kevin Hart because they feel like he sold out or he's not funny or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And
whatever,
I'm like, bro, like, he's one of my favorite comedians. He has an influence on me, like, one of the reasons I got into comedy.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, and then it just got to the point, I'm like, you guys see me on stage. If you guys think that y'all want to give me shit about this, we can hop on stage together.
Yeah.
And I will smoke all of you guys and have the best set out of all of us. Like, that's what it got down to. And then everybody kind of chilled out because it's like, yeah, bro, like, and it kind of like that, the Bushido code, I think that would be mine just because it got to that point where it was like, okay, you giving me a hard time, but like, if you really want to get down to it, like, I can show you that I'm funnier than you.
Yeah, you go toe to toe. I'll follow you one night, you follow me one night, and see who can actually beast it out on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's already kind of a comedy competition. You see a lot of comedians when they go back, like, they'll try to crush the person that's behind them sometimes.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I can see that. Yeah. What about you, Rob?
Shit. Maybe trivia?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That or like, shit, like.
Would it be specific to like Star Wars?
Yeah,
or?
I would say I would do Star Wars trivia. There's definitely people that could beat me, but like I used to know a lot of that kind of deep trivia shit back in the day. That or maybe like Super Mario Brothers 3, like head to head, like who can get further, you know?
Get
like,
through
I don't know.
It, beat the game quicker?
Exactly.
What would your dojo look like? What would the outside, would it be like a Darth Vader?
Yeah, just like a whole like Vader helmet that like opens up, either that or like the whole thing has got like an 8-bit design, I don't know.
That'd be
something
cool.
Like that.
Just he has in. A Darth Vader outfit on, like, you challenged me,
yeah,
Rob.
It's all decked out like the Death Star or something like that. We got lightsabers all over the place, something like that.
That'd be dope as hell.
That would be hella dope, but you just got a freaking dark ass arcade that somebody walks in is like, if you ever feel the need to go challenge Rob in the Dark Hunter, here's the map to find him in
just
the quarter.
Just waiting there with my hood up, just like, I've been waiting for you.
I would just go to watch that shit. Even though I'm not, I don't know a whole bunch about Star Wars, just to see that.
I'd be back there beatboxing and shit, like homeboy, like, Rob's the best.
You guys are welcome to my dojo anytime.
Anytime. I think for me, it would be just comedic storytelling.
Sure,
I feel like I enjoy telling stories, and I think I have a lot of fascinating stories that's happened to me in my life, because I had some crazy shit just happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
And all when it comes to my comedy, even with that, so a lot of my friends always be like, man, you got jokes, but like your storytelling is what we live for to hear.
Yeah.
And it's the most thing that attracts people, or at least gets people drawn in. Stop worrying about getting a laugh every 7 seconds, because stories don't really need that. You know, you can do that. So I always feel confident in my storytelling. I guess I would put that up against anybody. Comedic storytelling,
right,
anyways.
Right.
You know, I'm able to turn my stories that have been fucked up to like funny at the same time.
Yeah.
And people are like, man, you don't talk about that on stage. Like, you got like 30 stories that you haven't told on stage yet. I'm like, oh, you're right. I guess I could tell that on stage. Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess I would put that up against anybody when it comes to storytelling. You come to the storytelling dojo and get this goddamn work.
Yeah,
Mr. Rogers of the storytelling out here in the streets.
Got a storyboard for you.
Yeah, I'd be back there.
Last question, man. All this sex that's going on in this, a lot of brothel in here. Have any of you guys ever paid for sex? And would you ever pay for sex?
I haven't. I don't think I would either. You know, that's like, at that point, like, I don't know, just something cheapens it a little bit, right? And it's like, I know, like, especially in you know more first world countries that do have these brothels, like, I'm sure everybody's checked, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't be able to get that out of the back of my head.
Nah,
you just start coughing a little bit more than usual. You think, oh, I've got some shit.
I'll be paranoid out the gate. And I just feel like I don't feel like I know they don't want to do this. So I'm not against the whole against somebody's will type thing.
Exactly.
So like I'm like you know there's been times like I just be like if you're not even into this data, but like let's just end this early. I don't feel like going through this shit.
I feel like I got a pretty good meter for bullshit.
Yeah.
Like the whole time I just be like, this is just bullshit.
Yeah. And if you're not into it like that, I just be like, all right, you're clearly not into it, whether you're thinking about your ex-boyfriend or you just don't you're not feeling me that much. This is I couldn't, and I never have.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
I haven't either. I haven't, and I wouldn't. Just because of the fact it's like, that shit, I don't know. I've had one night stands. That's fine. Like, but there wasn't money involved. But it's just like, for me, it's like, putting money on it is just like, this is just, there's nothing attached to that. Like, I'm really big on connection. And also, too, like, my friend had a bad experience with prostitutes. So, like,
oh, shit.
That whole thing kind of, if I ever had any, you know.
Yeah.
Any need or want for prostitution, I was good, because my friend he bought a prostitute down in Mexico, and then come to find out the prostitute he thought was a woman was a man.
Oh,
that tucked
shit.
It.
That's a surprise.
Yeah,
and he found out because like my other friend is a federal agent, and he's like, his domain, like where he works at, is in Mexico, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm actually investigating this prostitution ring that's going on in Mexico, and they having men that are, you know, they have men that's dressed as women, and they're just going around, and then come to find out the woman he thought he had sex with was a man, and he found out, and then he just went into this deep depression for like 4 or 5 years because you realize he just fucked a man.
Yeah.
After that I was like, oh no, I would never.
And I'm guessing alcohol was involved.
A lot of alcohol was involved, because if you
he must
I don't
have
see how you not even somebody tucked. That's a good fucking tuck that he didn't see, like, that dick. Like, It was. And it was just crazy because, like I said, he went off the grid. And the only way we were even able to check in on him was because he worked at an AT&T store.
Yeah.
So we would just, like, if we wouldn't hear from him, we'd just check in. Like, okay, you're still alive. Okay, cool. And then just, like, we'll see him at the AT&T store selling iPhones and shit. Yeah. And like, all right, you're still alive. Good.
By the way, my Surface is trash. What the fuck?
But I know what some guys do. Like, were y'all roasting too?
Oh, yeah. We fired him up. And I think that's what put him into the depression too. Because, like, after we realized... He fucked the man. Like, we did not let that shit go. And then, you know, especially, like, this is, like, 2012. So, this whole thought process of mental health and not doing that and, like, no. That wasn't even a thing. Like,
yeah, back then,
we fired his ass all the way up for a long time. It was like, bro, look at you. Like, get out of here. You fucked the man. Like, we fired his ass all the way up. And I think we even added to that depression now that I think about it. That's why we would check
terrible
in
at, friends.
Maybe.
And but that's real why friends. We showed up to the AT&T store to make sure he was good every now and again, because we still cared. But
yeah, and that's sad as what guys. That's what we do. We're going to clown.
Oh yeah,
right.
We're going to clown your heart, your, like, whatever your hardships are. But we're going to also be there for you. So I'm glad y'all went to AT&T and checked up on him. And I'm like, man, okay, man, you good at AT&T? You good? Just trash, man. All right, just making sure you ain't
exactly
fucked no dudes lately. Okay, my bad. I'm just saying, dog. I don't know, man.
And he will never, like, I will, and I think that's something too. And like on Superbad, when people, you know, like when the dude peed on himself, and they was like, people don't forget, like, he will forever be known as the dude that fucked a dude. You
whether
know?
It's a and the fact that it was a mistake is messed up because it was a mistake. It's not like he did it. It was
it's like if that's your thing, that's your thing, like,
right?
Whatever.
If anybody that wants to fuck, go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Please
do your thing.
If you like cross dressing or men's or transsexual people,
that's fine.
Yeah. Dope.
Yeah. But that's not a surprise that somebody wants.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a no. Okay. That's a big surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even just to kind of go back to what we talked about too, if you know something, you tell them. Like, if I was a federal agent, like my homie's dad, I'd just be like, I wouldn't say nothing. I just would have been like, hey, just stay out that area because a lot of people are weird over there. I wouldn't be like all of us were sitting there and he was like, wait, what's her name? And he was like, oh, yeah, that's a dude.
Yeah.
And all of us was like, no fucking way. He's like, yeah, that's
his heart probably dropped.
That's
his heart probably dropped. And I mean, but did he only do anal? Like, you was just like,
I guess so at that point.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah, I know what an ass and a vagina feels like. I know it doesn't feel like the same hole. So I don't have no idea.
I'm
just saying.
I'm sorry. I've never done anal in my life, so I don't know.
I've done it only like twice. And I'm just like, that's the time. My bad.
We'll come back to that next week. Put a pin in that.
Put a pin in that. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah, you know the difference, you know. And then even with the, like, you know, doing that, you just like, this is not, like, well, much, not even the chick was kind of like, this wasn't fun. I don't care to do that again. I was like, I don't care to do this again either. It didn't enhance sex for me,
right?
So I was like, I don't care to do this again. But anyways, we're going to end on anal, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Next week, we're
very
actually going to...
Very special episode of animation.
Yeah. The animation. We're going to end on that. And we're going to go through episodes next 13 through...
we're still doing this.
We're gonna
got to finish it, man. Yeah, it's only 26 episodes.
The next six episodes. This is very tough to get through. This is not, to me, not really a good anime.
It's not holding me at all.
And the ratings, critics love this. The ratings for this is fantastic.
Yeah. The music is the best thing about this so far.
Agreed.
I agree. Rob, where we can find you at?
You can find me at RV Danger on Instagram, RV Danger 44 on Twitter.
Nice.
Find me everywhere at the THE. THEIYEXAM on Instagram and everywhere else.
And you can find myself, Keenan Baker. You can find me at Keenan Baker on everything. Keenan Baker on Instagram, KEENAN Baker. And you guys for tuning in to another episode of Hanimation. See you next week.
Oh no.
Follow Keenan Baker on all the platforms and get his updates on Whole Field. Oh,
and so anime was solved forever.